14, 13, 12, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, beat.
Senator Goldwater, what have you... I'll probably pause in between some of these things, too. Senator Goldwater, the racial unrest in the West Coast is something that you, I believe, predicted some time ago. What do you feel are the underlying causes for that?
I don't exactly like the word predicted, but in my maiden speech, the opening speech of my campaign in Prescott last year, I devoted most of my time to the subject of crime on the streets. Now, I think there's two reasons for this. I don't think you can continue to flaunt the law in this country. I don't think you can continue to have disrespect for law and the policeman or the sheriff. I think it's time that the leaders, both Negro and white, quit saying that if the law doesn't suit you, go ahead and violate it. But on the other hand, I think there's an economic reason for this. The civil rights demands, I might say the civil rights of the Negroes, have been answered in the Congress. This thing that happened in Los Angeles, and I think will happen again in this country, was caused by people, whether they're white or black, just being fed up with not being able to get jobs, with not being able to live as well as other people live. I don't discount the agitation that took place, but I think we'd better get on with the job of providing training, providing incentive, and providing integration wherever it doesn't exist for all people, whether they be Negro or white, whose educational and economic backgrounds have not been as fortunate as some as the others.
Representative Melvin Laird made a report to the House Republican leadership and to members of the House in regards to the spending program that the president has going on. Have you any comment on Mr. Laird's report?
Yes, I think Congressman Laird is very correct. We are faced, due to Secretary McNamara's insistence that we cut down on our arms buying in very, very important areas, we are faced with the necessity of spending in the next fiscal year, or this fiscal year, I should say, from $7 to $10 billion to buy things we should have in stock. And I've been constantly at McNamara for this foot dragging, for not having troops ready to go, for not having equipment for them. And when we're short of ammunition, I'd say we're in a hell of a shape to fight a war. Now, we have to provide these things, and as I say, it's going to cost, according to Senator Stennis and Senator Russell, $7 to $10 billion. Where is it coming from? We can't continue in this country to spend the money we're spending in the domestic programs and continue to and spend the money we have to spend for the defense of the country. Inflation is the only answer, and I think it's time the American businessman and the American housewife, the American, woke up to the fact that this country is absolutely no different from Germany, from France, from Italy, from every other country who have gone through the sad experience of inflation. And I hope the president wakes up before it's too late. He cannot bury his head in the economic sands any longer.
Do you feel that President Johnson is doing all that he can to help the economic situation of the nation and to wage the war in a aggressive or productive manner?
No president is doing the job he should do or could do when he's wasting money, and that's exactly what he's up to. We have this war on poverty. We've been waging a war on poverty for 300 years in this country, but now it's become a political game. It's political from top to bottom, and we're spending billions of dollars on it. He has program after program after program. While they sound worthy and probably are worthy, the question has to be asked, can this country afford it? Now, if we can afford it, yes, we do it. But this country cannot afford to fight a war and do the things that he wants to do in this country. So in answer to your question, is he helping the economy in the usual false way that high-spending theorists think they do? He is. But the time is coming when you have to pay the piper, and I think it's closer than we think.
The Central Arizona Project seems to be have taken a giant step forward. Do you feel that we're here in Arizona going to see the end in sight soon for our water problem?
Well, I would hope so. It looks better in the House today than it looked yesterday. And the House has always been the stumbling block. However, it's not going to be as smooth sailing in the Senate as we thought it might have been, mostly because of our guarantee to California of the 4.4 million acre feet. I think there's a lot of question about this in the minds of upper basin senators and senators from other basins, because it does set a rather unusual precedent. But I'm very optimistic about it. I think with Senator Fanon's knowledge of this subject, with Senator Hayden's service and longevity in the Senate, we ought to be able to do a good job there, and certainly with John Rhodes leading the fight, with Mo Udall helping him the way he is, I think that we're going to be successful.
Excuse me. You want to stop a minute, Ralph? There was one question I wanted didn't check with you before. Bailey was through here and said that there were certain seats that the Republicans were going to be shooting at. Do you have a way that we can comment on that? I'd like to also ask about Bliss and what do you feel that there's solidarity or in the Republican Party now? And Mr. Bailey made a statement to the effect that Republicans are going after some 70-odd seats in the House. What do you think our chances are?
That's a great old bird.
It was a good place to stop after.
Yeah.
I would have had to anyhow.
Okay.
First on Senator, how do you feel the solidarity of the Republican Party is now under the leadership of Ray Bliss?
Well, I think it's improving much more rapidly than the critics make on. There is division, but I don't think it's the bad division that we had during my campaign last year. I would think, though, that men who opposed me in the last election, Scranton, Romney, Rockefeller, and so forth, should stop being so wild in their accusations about the so-called radical fringe in our party. I would suggest, as I have to them, that they begin to spell out what they consider to be extremist. And who are they? Now, if I'm one in their minds, I want them to tell the American people. Let's quit casting out these wild aspersions. I think the Republican Party under Ray Bliss is going to do very well. I think aiming at some 70 seats in the House of Representatives next year, we're going to be very successful. I think the votes on 14B, to repeal 14B, are going to defeat dozens and dozens of Democratic congressmen who voted that way. So I'm optimistic. I'm always optimistic, but I'm doing all I can to bring about unity in the party. And as soon as I get fit as a fiddle again, I'll be out in the hustings talking and working.
How's your back getting along, Senator?
Oh, it's fine. Gosh, it's the wisest operation I ever had. I wish I'd had it done 10 years ago. The pain and numbness in my right arm have all disappeared. There's no pain where the incision is. I am weak. I'm weak as a cat, but I'm able to swim a little more every day, and I can walk another half mile every day, and I keep squeezing these rubber gadgets here. I'll be a tiger again, don't worry.
How about your golf game? When are you going to get back to your golf game?
Well, of course, this is going to be the greatest thing for my handicap that ever came around, because it's going to slide from about a 7 up to about a 20, whether they like it or not. I can't hit a ball for about 6 months, according to the doctors, so we'll just wait and see.
Yeah,
you got anything that we didn't touch on that you would...
No, I...